Manx Radio's update.
Yes, good evening. This is not Andy Wynn, but don't let that spoil your enjoyment. Update at 5.30 brings you 30 minutes of today's news on the Isle of Man and across, plus background to that news, Manx sport, business, travel updates and more, including this evening, a shortage of drugs worldwide, but it's not down to Brexit. Laxey suffered. What about the other places under flood threat? And Ballabeg. And what's up with that speeding traffic down there? All that and more as the programme progresses.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
Let's have some news headlines. Let's join Donan Mercer. Donan, Fastamai.
Port St Mary commissioners have announced the sudden and sad passing of board member Rob Hurst. He was elected in April 2016 and is described as a valued and passionate member throughout his tenure. The commissioners express their sincere condolences and say all their thoughts and those of the staff are with his family and friends. The Health Minister says patients will be safe if a serious shortage protocol comes in because of a shortage of some medicines. If approved by Timwald, the protocol will be put in place from the 1st of December. The Director of Highways says there are no easy solutions to reducing traffic speed through Ballabeg. Geoff Robinson attended a public meeting last night about the issue, following concerns that drivers are significantly breaking speed limits through the village. There'll be no food, no tents, no phones, and no luxuries for 20 locals tonight who are sleeping rough for charity. Employees from the Capital International Group will be braving the cold to send a message of solidarity to an organisation which aims to improve the lives of homeless people in Cape Town, where Capital has an office. Further afield, a woman's body has been pulled from floodwater in Derbyshire. Warnings of a danger to life remain in place in some parts of northern England, while dozens of people have needed rescuing or been forced to leave their homes. Mamas and Papas has become the second children's retailer to go into administration this week. It's closed six stores just days after Mothercare's collapse. Those are the headlines. More at six. Mish Dolan Mercer, Manx Radio News.
Garamayed.
Benham Advocates. Call us on 639 350 or visit manbenham.com.
Well, we've had a gorgeous day today. The gulls wheeling, the dealers dealing. Let's see what lies ahead.
Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Well, today, Friday, Jehenya, after the dry and sun we have enjoyed, it's turning cold this evening, a frost in many places, but the cloud will thicken and the temperatures recover a little overnight with rain arriving around dawn tomorrow. Saturday, Jasan, wet tomorrow morning, a strengthening southeast wind, rain clearing to showers in the afternoon. Sunday, Jaduni, dry overnight into Sunday with a frost in many places. Cold start. Dry for much of the day, though. Turning cloudy with rain in the evening. Top temperature 9 degrees Celsius. The sunrise will be at 7:34 a.m. tomorrow. Sunset this evening was at 4:31. The high water today, 8:57 p.m. Low water tomorrow, 3:35 a.m. High water tomorrow, 9:43 a.m.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online. manxglass.com.
This is update, and as we heard, the board and staff of Port St Mary have expressed their sincere condolences for the sudden and sad passing of Commissioner Rob Hurst. Many people will have known Rob Hurst, and we pass on our condolences as well. It's a change when a shortage is not pointed towards Brexit, isn't it? But that's the case as far as some medicines are concerned. Like the Isle of Man, we are experiencing a shortage. The government is looking to introduce a serious shortage protocol at Timwald this month. It could be in place by the beginning of December. Well, what will patients notice is different? A question Tim Glover asked the Health Minister, David Ashford.
At the moment, if there is a shortage and a doctor prescribes and the person goes to the pharmacy with that prescription and they can't provide it, you've then got to go back to the original prescriber to get something alternative prescribed. The serious shortage protocol allows for the pharmacist to be able to prescribe something that is similar in nature and does exactly the same thing, but may not necessarily be the exact product that has been initially prescribed.
One concern I'm sure patients will have is that they know their doctor knows them. The pharmacist probably doesn't know them.
Well, actually, to be fair, the pharmacists know quite a lot about the individual patients that come and see them. In fact, we've had the pharmacists over the last year, and they've been doing it off their own bat for a lot longer than that, actually talking to patients about their medication, around what they get on regular prescription and everything else. So when we're talking about something similar, we're not talking something completely different. We're talking
I don't
a generic
know my
product.
Pharmacist because they switch around between shops. I haven't a clue who the pharmacist is, and sure I'm not alone.
Well, no, but the pharmacist would be aware of allergies, etc., that patients might have. And where there is product issues, where a particular type of generic brand might have, say, a different allergy rating than another product that had been originally prescribed, the pharmacist, of course, can have that conversation with the doctor. But what it means is it removes the fact that someone has to physically go back and actually have it re-prescribed. There's nothing in this to stop the pharmacist talking to the doctor or the doctors talking to the pharmacist.
The biggest area from research is it's antidepressants that are in short supply. Now, that's affecting conditions like depression, anxiety, bipolar, schizophrenia. Any adjustment to somebody's drug regime there could have big consequences
but again,
for the
this
patient.
This is where the conversations between the pharmacist and the doctors come in. No pharmacist is going to re-prescribe something under a serious shortage protocol that the department has issued unless they are absolutely certain it's the right thing to prescribe. I mean, at the end of the day, we're dealing with professionals, and you've got to realise the pharmacists are professionals as well. They are not just going to willy-nilly prescribe something else that they believe could have an impact on that patient. But actually, it's wider than antidepressants. So, for instance, you look at last year, one of the things that was in very short supply around the world and it had an impact here on the island was the EpiPens. And like I say, you've got the diamorphine at the moment, the 5 milligram.
But it's 14 antidepressants that are short supply.
There is at the moment going worldwide. And like I say, that's why, and also HRT drugs as well have also recently been one of the other ones that have been in short supply too. So it's important we have this in place. To be perfectly honest, the serious shortage protocol I would not expect to be used very widely. It is one of those things that's just an extra piece in the arsenal.
But it does say the use of the protocol will not be appropriate for all medicines and all patients.
Precisely.
So what does that mean?
So what it means is the department will decide as and when we become aware, our pharmaceutical team, of drug shortages around the world, which ones we believe are the ones where we need to apply a serious shortage protocol.
But what do you mean by not all patients, though?
Well, so for instance, one of the things we've just raised there, where patients have specific allergies. So if you have patients who actually have had a reaction to certain things, so for instance, patients who have problems with dairy products and so on, and there's certain mixes of drugs that they can't use. So that would all be laid out in the serious shortage protocol issued by the department as to who it is applicable to and who it should not be applicable to.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
So there is a problem with those medicines, but the government's aware of it and is dealing with it. There are now 6 severe flooding warnings, which means a danger to life, in places along the River Don in South Yorkshire. The River Don, we've heard, obviously, of a loss of life already. Some areas have seen a month's worth of rain in just 24 hours. Well, we had a very pleasant day today, but the island's flood defences could be overwhelmed on a more regular basis, according to the Ramsey MHK, Laurie Hooper. He wants to know what's been done to reduce the risk island-wide. We all know, of course, the flooding in Laxey last month. It was revealed the area is ranked 12th for flooding risk, with the Chief Minister recently pledging to provide an update on those considered more likely to flood. Mr Hooper told Sian Cowper why he'll be seeking a progress report at next week's sitting of the House of Keys.
The urgent question was asked a few weeks ago about the Laxey floods. Chief Minister gave a statement, and in that statement he said something along the lines of the National Flood Strategy identifies Laxey as number 12 on the list of high risk, and numbers 10 and 11 have been done, so we're doing number 12 next. So I asked the Chief Minister if he was aware that actually number one on the list was the West Quay in Ramsey, and whether any work has actually been done on all those other high priority areas. He said he'd circulate some information on exactly the work that had been undertaken on the top 10, top 11 high risk areas on the island, and so we haven't seen anything on that yet. So this is just a follow up, just to find out actually, is he going to provide the information he promised back in October?
Well, given that we have seen more heavy rain in the last few days, how high a priority would you expect this to be given?
I think you can see the events in Laxey came as a, if not a shock, they were definitely completely unexpected. And we're seeing more and more of this now, sort of sudden rainfall, lots of rain in a very short time. So I think there is an increased risk that we're going to see some of our kind of water and flood defences kind of overwhelmed on a more regular basis. And so my worry is, if you have these high-risk areas, are they doing work to make sure that they're actually being addressed as quickly as they can be? And I'm not expecting work to happen overnight, but you would expect something to be happening as quickly as is reasonably possible.
Given that there are 11 rivers that are higher risk than Laxey, does there need to be an overall look at how the island is tackling water levels and flooding, not just each case individually?
Well, the Isle of Man does have a national flood defence strategy. I think it's called a flood defence and coastal erosion strategy, actually. But for me, it just seems like they've identified these areas. They've said these are the high risk and this is the sort of work that needs to be done. But then there hasn't been a lot of progress actually turning that into action on the ground. And that's the thing that's starting to concern me, is that we're very good at writing these strategy documents, these plans. But when it comes to actually translating those into action, into making change, that's where I think we're struggling. So I'd like to get some information from the Chief on actually how this is all going.
The Ramsey member, Laurie Hooper. Something you can do, I suppose, is just have a quick look around your property. And if you feel there is something you can do in the meantime, like get some sandbags or something like that, or do something in the event of something happening, it might be just as well to do it. These are troubled times. Obviously, we're getting a lot of what we term extreme weather events, and we have to be prepared for them.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Oh, well, there's very little red, no red at all, actually, I can say, on the steam packet listings, which is good news, of course. It means that the 7:45 Ben McCree departure to Heysham is expected to arrive there at 11:30. Saturday, the departure at 2 o'clock in the morning. Tomorrow morning, the Ben McCree is going. Expected arrival back here at 5:45. Douglas departure, 8 o'clock. The Ben McCree expected arrival at Heysham at 11:45. And then it follows the usual schedule. Heysham departure, 2:30, arriving here at 6:15. And the departure 7:45 from Douglas back to Heysham at 11:30. And looking ahead to Sunday as well, nope, that seems to be okay as well. No problems, not like the problems we've been experiencing this week anyway.
With more than 900,000 special offer seats available during 2020, visit steam-packet.com.
Let's have a look at business now.
Manx Radio's business briefing, powered by Y Manx.
Well, UK and European markets opened slightly lower. Investors were monitoring the latest developments in the ongoing Sino-US-China-US trade war. Shares in Asia were mostly lower as investors digested recent developments on that trade front, US and China. The dollar held its gains versus the yen and the Swiss franc as investors bought riskier assets on news that China and the United States had agreed to roll back tariffs as part of a yet-to-be-completed preliminary pact to end their trade war. Crude oil futures fell amid lingering uncertainty on whether and when the United States and China will agree a long-awaited deal to end this trade dispute. Gold prices tepid after dropping up to 2% in the previous session as hopes of headway in the US-China trade deal. That phrase is coming up one time and time again, isn't it? It's so important to the global business picture. Dented the bullion's appeal. On the corporate front, Royal Mail says it's seeking an injunction at the High Court to stop industrial action by the Communication Workers Union, claiming irregularities in the ballot of staff. The company said the integrity and legal soundness of any electoral process is vital, especially in relation to potential industrial action around the general election on December the 12th. Royal Mail claimed it had evidence the CWU members were asked to intercept and remove their ballot papers from mail coming into their delivery offices before they were delivered to their homes, contravening, of course, company procedures.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
Let's have a look at some of those rates. The Dow Jones, 27,674. That's up spot 66. S&P 500, 3,085.27 increase. And the Nasdaq, 8,434. That's 0.28 up. Fixed yield income, UK, 10-year yield, 0.76. Exchange rates, the pound against the dollar, 1.281. The pound against the euro, 1.159. Commodities, gold, 1,471. That's plus 17%. And Brent oil, $61.68. That's down 1.11.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsey Crookall. Ramsey Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsey Crookall. Telephone 673-171. Call into Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramseycrookall.com. Ramsey Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
For bespoke tabletop glass cut to measure, visit Manx Glass and Glazing in the Snugborough Trading Estate. Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Let's have a look now at the water sports forecast for the coastal waters over the weekend, if you're fancying going out. The summary, rain on Saturday morning will clear to showers in the afternoon. Cold start on Sunday, ground frost, mainly dry and cloudy thereafter. The sea temperature, 11 degrees Celsius, so wrap up warm. Saturday, the wind southeast 5 or 6, quickly increasing 6 or 7. That's quite strong. Backing east or northeast 5 or 6 in the afternoon. Wave height 1.8 metres, building 2.3 metres in the afternoon as that wind increases. Wave period 4 seconds. High tide 9.43 a.m. Sunday, the wind east or northeast 3 or 4, veering east or southeast 4 or 5 through the afternoon. The wave height 1 metre, building 1.5 in the afternoon. Wave period 3.4 seconds and the high tide is at 10.15 a.m. Ballabeg residents have told politicians and senior servants they don't feel safe in the village. Why? Due to speeding traffic. Around 40 people went to a public meeting last night in Arbury Parish Hall. Solutions discussed including reducing speed limits, introducing a drop-off point at the Priorish Primary School. It always gets very crowded there, of course, and employing a lollipop person. The DOI's Director of Highways, Jeff Robinson, was there and stressed that with limited resources, his department prioritises work using a list of worst accident spots on the island. It used to be called black spots, didn't they? Which Ballabeg wasn't part of. But residents countered that the only reason no one gets hurt is that no one dares to go out. Local Democracy reporter Ewan Gorn was at the meeting and got the reaction of these residents.
Now, I live on Duck Street. I try to get off there in the morning and I'm waiting there, revving up, you know, waiting for a slot light, you know, to come.
Life in your own hands,
sort of. It is, yeah. Or if I have to walk across the road, if I park up around the corner, I'm halfway across the road and then I'm running back again, halfway across, running back again. We've all got, you know, stories on Duck Street, you know, losing wing mirrors, you know, sort of people on the horns, you know, sort of like, you know, just starting at you.
A 40-mile-an-hour speed limit right next to a school is just moronic to me. It's baffling. I don't understand why the department feel that it's justified for a 40 mile an hour speed limit.
I thought it was a good starting point, but there's a lot of work to do, and hopefully people, the stakeholders, will be involved where necessary and not just ignored.
It was interesting. I'm glad a lot of people turned up, but I still don't think that the politicians and the government people have realised just how serious the situation is.
The reaction of some of the people who went to that meeting, well, what about the reaction of Jeff Robinson, the DOI's Director of Highways? He told you, and the department has to be what he termed realistic about what it can do to solve the problem.
I can't make any promises at this stage, but I do agree with the people in the village that there is quite often inappropriate speeds going through the village. The solutions to that are are not easy, but we have already done a lot of work to try and combat that, which some of which has been successful. We have promised tonight that that's due its first year review after implementation, and coming out of that review there may be changes and tweaks that we can do, and we can reconsider some of the decisions we made in terms of crossing points as part of that review. In addition to that, we've committed to bring in SusTrans, who are a charitable organisation who are very supportive of walking and cycling, to work with the school to see if we can increase the confidence and the ability of people to walk to school. And they will also recommend to us changes that we might be able to make to the road infrastructure that will help support that.
Many were frustrated to hear that the department acknowledges that reducing speed limits just doesn't work sometimes. People still don't abide by those limits. So how do you reassure people that what you're doing is going to have meaningful impact when that's the case?
Speed limits in themselves don't work. They have to be followed up with enforcement and education and engineering of the road to create an environment where the driver wants to slow down. Getting the balance of that combination is very difficult, and we are working with other partners within government to see how we address that. But as a department, we are very keen to try and bring back the sense of villages on the Isle of Man, where perhaps the balance has gone a little bit too far in favour of the car driver, and we need to try and give the streets to a certain extent back to the people who live there.
Geoff Robinson, of course, the answer lies in if you drive through Ballabeg, drive carefully, drive slowly, and that would solve the entire problem.
Manx Radio Sport.
Oh, this evening's sports roundup. Here's Chris Cave.
Good evening. We'll start with hockey, and Saracen Sabres could seal promotion to the Rossborough Mixed Premier League this weekend. They currently sit 3 points clear of second place Backers B, with 3 games to play heading into this weekend's match with bottom side Harlequins A. If they win and Backers B lose to Valkyries B, it would give them an unassailable lead at the top of the second tier. Elsewhere in the division, Backers C take on Ramsey Ravens. Football, and with leaders St Mary's not in action this weekend, Russian have the chance to go top of the Canada Life Premier League. They'll have to secure maximum points in their encounter with a Corinthians side who've won 3 in a row since an opening day defeat to St George's. Geordies welcome Laxey on Saturday, knowing a win would draw them level on points with Mary's and could even leapfrog them if they win by a big enough margin. The Miners have made an impressive start to the season though, but they haven't won in 3 matches. Further afield, Manchester City will be without number one goalkeeper Ederson for their key Premier League game against Liverpool on Sunday. The Brazilian picked up an injury during their draw with Atalanta in the Champions League in midweek and will be replaced in the side by Claudio Bravo. There's a huge fixture in the Premier League this evening as the bottom two, Watford and Norwich, clash at Carrow Road. Kike Sanchez Flores' team are the only ones not to have won a game all season. Northern Ireland manager Michael O'Neill has been appointed the new boss of Championship side Stoke City. He signed a 3.5-year contract with the Championship club, but will remain in charge of the national team for the upcoming Euro 2020 qualifiers against Holland and Germany. He'll also oversee any playoff tie that they might need to play in March. That's your sport this evening.
Thanks, Chris. We'll be having a look at the rally that's on this evening and tomorrow. But first, well, we're still talking about the rally.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
Because it's going to affect travel this evening. They've got a stage at Kerrystal. Road close at 6 o'clock. It's through until midnight. And then they move on to, where is it, Ronag. That's at 6.40. And then round our neck of the woods. Please, if you're out there and you're taking part, drive quietly past our house this evening, will you? That starts at 7 and goes on till 1 o'clock. Those roads all round there, that area this evening, will be difficult to get past. You'll have to sort of drive round the houses. There's also been a shakedown, incidentally, earlier today at Craigney Bar, but that was earlier on. Newtown, Santon Road, there's quite a bit of diggery pokery going on there, and quite a few changes in the speed limit. So if you're going past that neck of the woods, drive carefully. And that's a 20 and 30 mile per hour speed limit there. Those are really the major areas this evening.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions, 670-145.
Incidentally, as part of a BBC Children in Need appeal, BBC North West is showing an interview with one of the cruise bereavement care families supported on the island, and Joni Farragher, one of our children and young people's bereavement specialists, recorded last month. So make sure you watch that. 1.5 days of closed road action awaits us. It's the 2019 Poker Stars Rally. It's getting underway this evening, as I just mentioned. Jamie Jukes and James Morgan took the plaudits last year. They're hoping to do it Road again. Stages for the final round of the Manx Rally Championship include Kerrystal, Ronick and the Baldwins. Motorsport correspondent Sam Fletcher spoke to Chris Cave ahead of the event.
Thanks very much, Chris. Yeah, this weekend I think it's going to be a really good event, really exciting stuff, lots of action. The weather you'd normally say with sports events is going to dampen proceedings. Well, it will dampen it, but I tell you what, I think it's going to make for some exciting scenes this weekend.
It does always seem to enhance the rallying, doesn't it, when you've got moisture on the roads. There's usually lots and lots of wind as well, but it doesn't dampen the hearts of the spectators who do turn up in their droves to watch this event.
Yeah, I think rally and all motorsport really, Chris, it's a really good opportunity to get out and see some action, and especially on our island, you know, it's plentiful over here with lots of events taking place, and the Manx Rally being only one of them, but certainly this weekend I think we're going to be set for some excited action taking place all over the island.
And motorsport has a long-held tradition with the Isle of Man. You only have to look as far as the TT, but rallying as well still has its place here in the motorsport elite. Take us through some of the runners and riders who are involved this weekend.
Okay, so I think a man to watch is definitely going to be Jamie Jukes and his navigator James Morgan, last year's winners, of course. I think they're going to be setting the pace after the showing last year and certainly out to make it a double. Notable absence this year, so I have to say, it's going to be Andy Dudgeon and Joe Dooley, real contenders last year. I think it was second place that they achieved. Unfortunately, after a late withdrawal, they're not going to be competing this year. Another pairing to look out for, local father and son entry George and Graham Collister. They'll be pushing hard, trying to amass a few more points there to keep their tally and themselves at the sharp end of the championship. Hunting for a maiden victory, George did quite well 2012 with his navigator Steve Luton, where they, I think it was second on the podium that they achieved there. That was a good showing for them. Also, we've got Steve Collie and Mark Rodman in their Mitsubishi Lancer, another team not to discount, certainly. Steve having picked up two victories in the Manx, most recently winning the event in 2015. He'll also be looking for revenge on Bainborough, the Manx Championship leader, that is, who took 33 seconds out of him at Jerby, the first round of this year's championship.
And the roads will be closing very shortly for the start of that PokerStars rally that's on this evening and tomorrow. Remember that sport is on with Chris Cave directly after this programme. Stay around, great sport involved. Let me just congratulate Chef Pippa Lovell, who's making something of a name for herself in cooking terms here in the Isle of Man at the Foraging Vintners. She's recently featured on BBC Northwest, and this weekend she is heading off to the European finals of the San Pellegrino Young Chef of the World competition, where she has, she tells us, very definite plans to promote her island a home. That's update for this evening. I'm John Moss. Have a very good weekend.